Good morning, everyone. I'm not supposed to be here this morning for your information. This morning, we're supposed to have two guest speakers. One speaker is speaking in the main church, Reverend Dr. Tan Kan San. He is the General Secretary of the British Union, supposed to speak there. And here in Desert Park City this morning, we have Reverend Dr. Sebastian Chua, who is supposed to speak here. But on Wednesday, I received a text message from our guest speaker from UK, Pastor John. I lost my passport, so I cannot be here to speak in your church. And then he say, "Can you find a replacement for me?" Obviously, we have to find a replacement. So I shifted our guest speaker here to the main church, and I am here this morning to bring to you the Word of God. Also, at the very last minute, the announcement have to stop so that we change the and to inform the people who are speaking here in Desert Park City. And Sister Merlin, very kindly, last minute, change all the song to make sure that the song that we are singing today relate to my sermon text this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We can be here to speak and to hear your word. And we pray the Lord that you speak to us and help us hear from you. I pray and commit myself to you as I bring forth your word. The Lord, that your word will speak to hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, many of us, many families as well, we are all very familiar with Psalms 23. And this is one of the most beloved Psalms or chapters in the Bible. Many Christians have read it, and in times of pressure and danger, and many pastors have used it in times of sadness and sorrow during the wake of funeral services. And many can also recite Psalms 23. Can you recite Psalms 23? Ah, I hear yes. Okay, yes, very good. Okay, those of you who cannot, okay, let us recite Psalms 23 together. Psalm 23 verses 1 and 4, let's read it out together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a comforting and beautiful psalm here. To know that our Lord is our good shepherd. And when he is our good shepherd, we shall not be in want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. And he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anointed our head with oil, our cup overflows. And surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today in the 10th chapter of John, we have a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And this passage follows immediately after the healing of the man born blind who had been cast out of the synagogue by the Pharisees because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what these people, Jesus called these Pharisees, you know, these leaders, these rulers of the Jews who had twisted and distorted the teaching of the law? False shepherds, thieves and robbers. And they are false shepherds because they don't care for the sheep. They did not care for the blind man, but instead they mistreated him and threw him out of the synagogue. And they are thieves and robbers because they never enter through the door. And so they have to climb over the wall and enter the fold through deception. And they could never lead the sheep, so they must steal them away. And this is what Jesus meant when he called these Pharisees false shepherds, thieves, and robbers. So let's turn to our Bible this morning, and if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Again, if you are looking at me or looking up the screen, I know you don't have a hard copy Bible with you. But I do want to encourage you, bring hard copy Bible. Handphone not counted. Okay, hard copy Bible. And we'll look at the text together. John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. When he had brought, follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, to understand this more clearly, we need to understand a little bit about the shepherd and his sheep. And in the East, normally, the shepherd brings the sheep into one central sheepfold every evening, where half a dozen of sheep gather together and are guarded by a gatekeeper behind locked doors. And then the next day, the next morning, the shepherd would return and each call his own sheep. Now, although the sheep have been mingled together, each sheep know its own shepherd voice, and each would follow its own shepherd and no other. And this is the picture that Jesus uses with regard to the encounter between the man who had been born blind and the false shepherd, the Pharisees. So in this section here, we learn the marks of the true shepherd of the sheep. And this is important to us. You know why? Because through the centuries, there have been many, many false shepherds. They masquerade as a servant of righteousness. And they come in sheep clothing. This means that they may be wearing a tie and jacket and looking presentable without horns and red eyes. You know what I mean? And they give false testimony to deceive and to mislead and to con the people. And throughout the whole Bible, the Old and the New Testament, we have been pre-warned. We have been pre-warned about these people. A false witness tells lies. A false witness is deceitful. They will fill you with false hope. And the Bible warns us to watch out for these false prophets because they will be false teachers among you. Therefore, we should take them seriously. They have already infiltrated our churches today. And I do not know about you, but these issues of false shepherds should be border all of us. Why? Because Jesus Christ or God says they will come. And even during the time of Jesus Christ, our Lord, he had to deal with these people. And today, let me warn you, they are already here. Just look at all those we see and hear today. For example, there are many false views of Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, we only know of one Jesus, and he is God's Son. He became truly human. He came and dwelt among us. He's full of grace and truth. He is eternal, and he had made known the Father to us. But today, many people are actually asking, who is the true Jesus? Who is the true shepherd of the sheep? And this and there is the Jesus of the Moonies. There is the Jesus of the Jehovah Witnesses. There is the Jesus of the Christian Scientologies. And there is the Jesus of the Mormons. So which Jesus is the true Jesus, the true shepherd? And so here, Jesus tells us how we can know. There are two marks by which we can tell the true shepherd. First, the true shepherd enters by the gate. Look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Now, what does Jesus mean here by the gate, or some other version if you are using the door? And Jesus, of course, is referring to the normal, proper entrance to the sheep pen, the door, the gate to enter. And this is something that we today can easily understand. The door is the proper entrance to any house or building. For example, the door on the left or the door on the right is the entrance, the proper entrance to this sanctuary. For those up there, that door is a proper entrance into the sanctuary. And I do not see any of you come into the back door. Actually, there is a back door here. Okay. Or climb down from the roof this morning at the site. You notice there is a roof there where you can actually climb down. No, I don't see any one of you did that. Okay. You came in by the door, whether it was left door, right door, that door, or that right door, you came in at the right door. And I don't think anyone entered by the back door. By the way, it's always locked, okay? And that is the expected way to enter into the sanctuary, by the door, or through the door. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ refers to here. You know, he came the predicted way, the normal expected way. He enter by the door. In fact, the prophets that predicted this way, the way the shepherd would come to the sheep, and they have foretold where he would be born and whom he would be born to and the unusual character of his birth. And they have predicted how he would appear to the nation, how he would be introduced, how he would live, and what he would say and what he would do when he came. And this is what our Lord means. He came the predicted way, the normal, expected way. He entered by the door. And no other person in all the history of Israel ever came to Israel this way. And this is how we can know that Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. He entered by the door. He was born in Bethlehem, and according to the prophet Micah, that is where he would come from. He was born of a virgin, according to what Isaiah said would happen. A virgin shall be with a child, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And who is he? Who is this child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? And we know the answer. His name is Jesus. The one who was presented in the temple as an infant and circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. He came the predicted way, that normal, expected way. He did not climb in some other way through the side door, back door, or through the roof like a thief and a robber. He entered by the door, that normal, predicted way. So first, the true shepherd enters by the door, the gates, in verses 1 and 2. And then second, the true shepherd leads his sheep in second part of the verse 3 to verse 5. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he had brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The second mark of a true shepherd is clear and unmistakable. And there are four things that are characteristic of this fact. The first is that he calls them by name. He calls them by name. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Did you notice that every encounter of Jesus in the gospel is on a personal basis? He met Nicodemus by night. He met the woman at the well of Samaria. He met an invalid man at the pool of Bethesda. He met the man born blind. And in each of these encounters, Jesus met the individual personally and alone. And in other gospel, we read that as he walked through Jericho, he saw a man up on the tree and called to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to schedule to have a lunch with you today." No, Jesus did not call him short man. Why? Because he's short. Okay, Jesus did not call him, "Come down." As we all know, he's short, which is why he climbed up the sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. He met Matthew at the custom table and told him, rise and follow me. Jesus did not call him, hey, you loan shark or extortionist, you come and follow me. He chose the 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out the evil spirit and to heal every disease and sickness. And all of them have names: Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot. He called me in a dream in 1980. I heard my name, Ansing. That's my Chinese name. No, Jesus did not call me, you naughty boy, do you want to follow me? No, he did not. No, by the way, if you still do not know, I was very naughty boy. Very famous in Calvary Baptist Church when I was a young boy. Really, really naughty. You can ask people like Joyce, Wai Ming, Kexim, all these people. They really know that when I first came to the church, I was very, very, very naughty. You know, you want to know how naughty I was? I tell you one story. Way back when I was young, I actually planned to break into a board member's house. So I worked with the wife. I told the wife, you take your husband out for dinner for 1.5 hours. That's all I need. You give me your house key, and I will go into your house and try to turn over some furniture so that when your husband come back, he is shocked. So the wife worked with me, gave me the house key. So they went out for dinner. We were hiding at the corner. So the moment he left the house, we ran in, a group of us, and we opened the door. We went in and we ransacked the whole house. We turned the furniture upside down. We pulled out all the drawer. We took out the TV to the upstairs. And we were very smart. We went to the kitchen, took all the knives away as well, and took it upstairs as well. And lo and behold, 1.5 hours later, the wife and the husband came back. So the wife pretended and told the husband, you go in first. So the husband went in, opened the door, and lo and behold, when he opened the door, you know what happened? He was stunned because the whole house was turned upside down. And so he immediately told the wife, don't come in. Don't come in. So the wife was laughing inside the car, obviously. And then he went to the kitchen to look for knives. Wow, thank God we were smarter. We took all the knives away. And he found a rod, and he heard noises upstairs, and he immediately used the rod to bang on the staircase bar. It's still dented, okay, after many, many years. And lo and behold, after that, we all came down in groups, and we used water guns and splash at him and say and sing him a song. No, that's how naughty I was. No, also, when I was in the seminary, I was still very naughty. No, even in the seminary, during the school break, I collected about 20 clocks. I asked the student, lend me your clocks. No, I did not really tell them what I was going to do. So after I collected most 20 clocks, I hid it in the ladies' dorm and set all the alarm to go off at 1 o'clock, 1:15, 1:30, 1:45, 2 o'clock until 6 a.m. Lo and behold, you know what happened throughout the night? The alarm goes off and all the ladies were hunting for the alarm clock in the whole dormitory. That's how naughty I was. And yet Jesus called me. So I actually have wonderful news for those of you who are naughty. Jesus called naughty people too. Okay, and that's the proof, and that's a fact that I'm standing here today. Jesus knows me by name, no matter what, no matter how naughty I was. He called me by name in a dream. And today, that has not changed. Through the centuries, today, every believer who have come to know Jesus Christ has come alone. And Jesus never takes a group in at once. It's always me and him alone, you and he alone. And the wonderful thing is, he knows our name and calls us by our name. He won't call us, hey, fatty, fatty, bom, bom. No, even if you are fat. He won't call me Oi unless my name is Oi Laha, O-O-I. And he won't call me Y unless, of course, my name is Awai. And he won't call me old man, lo ye, pat ye kong, like some of the wives I know call their husband. You better change that, okay? I know some of you call your husband lo ye or pat ye kong. He won't call you dumbbell, sexy lady, four-eyes man, sing an jai, a bot man or end man. He call you by your name. You know, I have a name. And my name is John, or Mr. Cock, or Ensing. Okay, that's what people call me in the 70s. Now, when I applied to do my study in Southern Seminary, one of the famous seminaries in the United States, they can't even know how to call my name. And you know what they did? They opened three folders under my name. And the name is John Singh, Cox Singh, and N. Cox. And as a result, they rejected my application. Why? Because they can't even know that John Cox and Singh is one person. And instead, they created three-person file for my application. You know, God knows us by our name. He knows you no matter what your name is. He knows you are Merlin. He knows that you are Bruce, you are Brian. He knows you are Catherine. He knows that you are Jenny. He knows you by your name. And that is the name he calls you. Why? Because the scripture here tells us he calls his own sheep by name. And then the second characteristic. The second characteristic is that he leads them out. And that interesting phrase is used in chapter 9 of the man who was born blind. The Pharisee threw him out of the synagogue, and that is the same word employed here. And Jesus is saying that when that happened, it was not only the Pharisees doing it, but it was he himself who was behind it. It was he himself who moved them to excommunicate him, and it was he himself that led the man out of the false teaching which they had used to keep him in spiritual blindness. And this is what it means to us as well. When Jesus calls us out, he leads us out of the blindness and darkness of the world. You see, the philosophy of the world today is very sadly, it can be summed up in one phrase. Me first. Look out for the number one. Take care of the number one, and that is the one characteristic of the word that stands out, the five cares. You know what's the five cares? Actually, this word originated from me. I created this many, many years ago. Then later, I read in the newspaper, somebody used it. Then I went to another church, I heard a pastor use it. I used this so long ago, I created this myself. I have not read anything, see anything, but I come out from myself. Five cares, I call it. The ki ki gu ki ki. Everything starts with a care. No, that's what the philosophy of the world is. It's ki ki gu ki ki. Everything is focused on the question, what will it do for me? How? And what will I get out of it? What will I gain? Do I get any benefit? Isn't that true? Now, brothers and sisters, when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, almost immediately we see evidences that he or she begins to think of others. And I think this is true, and I hope this is true for every one of us who are Christian, to also think about others instead of me, or mine, or I. Christianity is an other-centered religion. When we hear so-called Christian today still focus on themselves and what happens to them, their rights, their needs, their world, we are listening to a fleshly substitute for Christianity. The real thing is to be led out by the true shepherd. And that is the second thing our Lord does with us. He leads us out. The third characteristic that is that he goes on ahead of them. Now we need to know that when the true shepherd leads us out, he does not leave us alone. He does not abandon us. And here Jesus says in verse 4, he goes on ahead of us. That means he had already gone ahead of us. Do you know how important that is? In every situation that we face, he had already been there first. When we struggle in life, when we face difficulties, when we face tough time and think that nobody understands us, wrong. When we think that all is lost with an anxious heart, feeling hopeless and helpless, that the world is crumbling down on us, there is no more hope, wrong. Hear this. The true shepherd is our leader and example. He showed us by his own life the kind of provision that he had made for us. He has gone on ahead of us. The pressure ahead, the danger, the pitfall of life himself. He has gone on before us. And isn't that a wonderful word? We say, look at my pain. You know what Jesus say? I was crucified on the cross. We say, look at my suffering, and Jesus say, I bled for you. What pain and suffering are we talking about? We say, my friend betrayed me. Jesus said, I was betrayed too by Judas and Peter. We say, I've forgiven my business partner for cheating me. Jesus said, I forgave those who nailed me on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We say, I was cast out and disowned by my own family members. And Jesus Christ himself said, my own chosen disciple forsook me and stayed far away from me when I was arrested. I gave up heavenly glory, suffered in the garden, drank the bitter cup of agony, stood in Pilate's judgment hall, wore the cruel crown of thorns. I have gone on ahead of you. And I have already been there first before you. We say, Lord, I shed tears for my loved one who died. And Jesus said, I shed tears too when I heard that Mary's brother Lazarus had died and was deeply moved in spirit when I saw her and the Jews also weeping. I know what this is like. I've been there before you. And so in the word of David in the 23rd Psalms in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can have that assurance. We can have that assurance and fear no evil because the true shepherd had gone on ahead of us. And that's the third thing our Lord does with us. He goes on ahead of us. The fourth and last characteristic is that his sheep trust his voice. They will follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him if they do not recognize the voice. And now hearing the right voice is very important for us, especially parents. And as parents, we teach our children to hear our voice. We want them to learn good. We want them to behave themselves. We want them to study hard. We want them to love God. We want them to help the needy. And we want them not to follow a stranger home. Can you imagine just one day a stranger turn up in school and ask them to follow them home or to the hospital because something had happened to you? If they do, the result or outcome would be unimaginable. As you and I know, there are many cases of kidnapped children today or children misled to follow a stranger because of lies or trickery. So today, we need to trust and to obey the right voice. And there's some teaching, some preaching or so-called evangelists who tell people that if they come to know Jesus Christ, God is going to make them rich. God will want them to stay in big houses, drive in big car. And someone is going to donate to you $2.6 billion to our personal account. Now, by the way, this is my bank account, MBB123456 7. If you want to bank in $2.6 billion, okay. Maybe million also, I accept lah. Don't need billion. Yes, I would want to be rich. Who would not? But that's not the right voice. Yes, I would love to be like some of you who keep changing your handphone from 2G to 3G to 3GS to 4 to 4S to 5 to 5C to 5S and then to 6 and 6 plus and today to 13. But that's not the right voice. That tells us that God does not love us. And if he does, why is there suffering in the world today? Why is there pandemic today? That's not the right voice. They tell us that life is okay, a little lie is okay, as long as no one is hurt. That's not the right voice. They tell us that the end of the world is coming this September 13, 2022, one day after I celebrate my birthday. That's not the right voice. Always recognize the voice of the true shepherd. He must be called of God and sent by God. If he truly speaks God's word, we can hear his voice and follow him. But never ever follow a stranger if we do not recognize the voice. And what a beautiful picture is drawn by Jesus of the true shepherd of the sheep here. The true shepherd enters by the gate. The true shepherd leads his sheep. How? He calls them by name. He leads them out. He goes on ahead of them, his sheep. Trust his voice. And I hope I'm clear. And I think that Jesus was clear in his presentation as well. But the people did not understand his symbolic language.
If you look at verse 6, it says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them.
Our brothers and sisters, today there are various reactions to the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, who described himself as the good shepherd. Some rejected his claim and refused to examine his work and consider his words. They rejected Jesus as a blasphemer and refused to accept his forgiveness and the new abundant life that he offers. And I hope that you are not one of them. And I pray that you are not one of them, but one of those that John mentioned in chapter 8, verse 30, that many put their faith in Jesus as the true shepherd, who calls us by name, leads us, and goes on ahead of us, and that we can trust his voice. And like David today, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Is he your true shepherd today? Is he your true shepherd today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we pray that, Lord, that you teach us and help us hear from you this morning. And especially that, Lord, that we put our faith, our trust in Jesus as our true shepherd. Why? Because he calls us each by name. He leads us and he goes ahead of us, and that we can trust his voice. And like David today, Lord, we can say he is our shepherd. He is our true shepherd. And because he is our true shepherd, we shall not be in want, because he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our soul. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we fear no evil, because you are with us. Your rod, your staff, they comfort us. And surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father, for your beautiful word and word of comfort, word, the Lord, that speaks to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.